Inspiring place and what they wanted. We noticed on item number 6 that regarded Lake Dulverton that they wanted the 2021 open structure plan to be reviewed. And we're sort of thinking, why do they want to review that when we actually haven't done anything really with the plan yet?
They're not talking about Lake Dulverton.
No, it says, it clearly says here, implementations of the structure plan, and then it says, review actions, review the Oakland structure plan 2021 for community priorities.
My reading and understanding of that is to actually look at each of the recommendations in the structure plan with a view to action.
Right.
As you said, there's been not a lot of action.
No.
And some of the recommendations in that structure plan relate to Lake Dulverton, its its environments, and I think that's what they're saying.
Right. Well, it probably doesn't state that very clearly. And a few of us had to, as I said, at this meeting, thought.
We'll get that.
Thank you.
Good point.
Thank you. All right, well, with that recommendation, we clarify that aspect of it. I'll put the motion in favour.
Aye.
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 Thank you. The joint authorities, the minutes of the Southern Tasmanian Council's authority, their meeting held on 15th of March 24. Is there a mover that they be received?
Oh, no.
Blackwell?
I'll second.
Thank you. Yes, just to elaborate somewhat there, the minutes pretty much describes that the operations of the Southern Tasmanian Council Authority is going to be, I guess, administered by the Regional Development Authority. And going to be reviewed. I'm not sure where the Southern Tasmanian Council Authority is going to end up. I've always had my doubts about it, but it's 5-4, but I don't think there's much in it, but the minutes are only very small. I'm not sure if anybody has any particular ideas or wishes to somehow take this forward. I'd be interested to hear from councillors about it. But as you can see there, Mr. Streckman is from the. He spoke to the report on the agenda by the general managers to undertake a view of the subject of cash environment. I'm not sure where that review is going to go, I'm not sure what steps have been taken by Mr. Streckman yet. But, there's some issues there. I'm not sure what appetite any councillors have for participating in that review. If you have, let me know. All right, well, that's the minutes of that authority. I'm going to ask that you either vote for or against the receipt of that. Put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Notification of council workshops, item 6. You'll notice there that the Southern Midlands infrastructure plan draft report, I think it's snuck into the. I think it should be snuck off.
The link from the first. Dot point number one down to February 16th.
So it just goes to a workshop held on the 16th of February 24. That's in motion to suit the plan, goes off the next one, and then goes off from thereafter. I'm asking if that information be received. Do I have a legal deal?
Yep, no.
Thank you. Councillor Blackwell.
Second.
Councillor Susan. Any discussions there? Not sure where the election commitments are going to go. I think they're probably all off, aren't they? The election commitments. A little bit of a ride, the government to obtain, and it doesn't seem as if there's going to be a majority government. So I don't know where we're up to there.
What's the space?
I suppose it's a watch this room.
Very unhappy people out there if they don't get someone.
Yeah, well,
I'd like to think they're one of them.
I'm sure the Liberal government will have a level of concern for its offered people and that resolve from those promises, but I guess we'll have to do it.
And might I add, yeah. It's nice to have our mayor there.
I didn't think there was any much chance of me leaving in, but anyway.
You did well.
Glad you did. Right, well, the information be received. Do I have a mover? Councillor Buckle, second is Councillor Bisbee. The lady in favour?
Aye.
Now we've got councillor's question time. I don't think there's any questions on that, is there? No. And questions without notes. Councillor Bisbee. Yeah, you've got a big sheet there. I'm worried now. Away you go.
I've been being tame. I've cut it back a little bit. I've got one question that I'd like to put into closed session.
Well, all right, we'll talk about that as an item, if you like. When we decide about what's going to be on the agenda, so we'll leave that to 9. We're on 7 at the moment. Question?
Then, outside of the hall, you've got a footpath going down to the shop, which is in average to poor condition, has a clay strip down the side of it. When it gets wet in winter time, people can slide over the side and hurt themselves, especially if they're elderly. And it has been raised before, because when I was in council before, I fell off that strip. I'd like to know if council would be prepared to actually do something in resealing it from the fence to the stonework.
What their budget did on and what it's handed out.
And there's a chunk of gravel. You've got bitumen that's got cracks going through, and then you've got a clay gravel mix, and then you've got stone.
Right.
Out here.
Basically, at least part of the path being put down in a permanent surface is what.
Yep. And then that's it this time.
All right.
The page looks more damaging than what it is.
So we'll note that as a budget submission.
Well, just a question as to whether we have remote cameras that we can deploy, because there seems to be, it's probably the one person that keeps dumping all their household rubbish from all the, as you come into the Mudwalls Road, there's that little cutout in the corner just past Stockdale, and they seem to be dumping all their trade waste and domestic waste there, as well as, you know, further up the path wherever there's pullovers. So I think if we can perhaps, as I say, it's probably the same person doing it, if we can, you know, put a camera or a trail camera on the power pole there, I think, you know, that might capture who's doing it, and we can potentially get them to pay for the clean-up costs of dumping all their litter there. But obviously it all, the crows get into it, they rip the bags open, and then it blows everywhere. So
could that be a police matter? I mean, could the police check the rubbish and see that the seats or whatever is in there?
Well, I don't know that I'd go through someone else's rubbish in this day and age.
I'm not suggesting
what you
might
be
able to equip to do that, I don't know.
Yeah, we've certainly got the authority to be able to try and identify. So this is in the old quarry, is the main issue?
No, well, as you come down Stockdale, you get onto the windy road, and then just in there's a little pull-out sort of right in the corner there.
So it's after that house that's on the corner as you're coming up towards Bethuel, which is...
Yeah.
That's what the old quarry is.
Yeah, it's the old quarry, yeah. So that's cool. Well, no, so there's the old quarry, I guess, which is sort of on your right as you come in. And
which way? North?
Coming towards Campaign.
Yeah, north.
So you go past Campaign, and just as you get onto the Windy Road, there's that section there, which I think might be the old quarry. That's common dumping ground for tyres. But as you go a little further up around the bend, there's a little cutout and a little nook between hydro camps, and that's where a lot of people are dumping stuff at the moment. And then there's various pull-outs that are along that sort of way that they seem to be throwing stuff over the fence into as well.
Just past the Ivanovich's house that we used to own and live there.
And then I guess have we got any timing around the car parking campaign? That seems to be quite the burning issue at the moment, particularly on a Friday night when everyone's in there having a drink. So
it will be a budget submission, so yep. It will come forward as part of, so assuming we adopt the budget in June, depending on council's decision,
yep,
there'll be a bucket of money allocated to put a permanent service, line marker and landscape and footpath.
Yep. Well, that's what I thought, as much as I said. Oh, good. That's all from me today. Thank you.
Okay. Just one, Mr. Mayor. I don't know how many people have read it on the back page of the Southern Midlands News.
A fairly lengthy report by the committee of the Woodsdale Football Club, which contained a number of inaccuracies, if I can get it out. I just wondered if we were going to print some correction to some of those. There's two or three clear ones there.
I haven't read it, to be honest. Sorry, I shouldn't admit that, but I haven't.
I'll leave it in advance if you feel that it needs
a reply of some sort.
A reply to correct some of the statements they've made, and of course we know sometimes that some of the statements are not quite accurate, and council gets a fair bit of blame for inaction and for being obstructive, and I think that is incorrect, and considering that we've made what I believe to be a fairly generous offer, subject to a number of conditions which are quite appropriate, I think it might be appropriate, subject to the Mayor and the General Manager's consideration of the article.
Anything else?
That's all. Thanks.
No, all set for me, thank
you.
Sorry?
Tomorrow.
Tomorrow, the trip. Excellent, perfect. Me, okay. Just a question for the Deputy General Manager again. As a frequent person going in and out of the pool, I've noticed the sandstone is it's got halfway up the wall, and that's where it's sat for about 6 months now.
Yep. Jim and I had...
You're going to finish it?
...detailed. We could do. We'd be a lot quicker than the current contract.
That's right.
Jim and I met with the General Manager, the Northern Manager, and the guy who supervised on the pool. It has been a significant issue for them, and we're in the process of negotiating the finalising. My understanding was the earliest completion date was just after Easter. Tim, that was what he was looking at, but he said, fingers crossed.
End of April, I think, by the time it's done.
He couldn't really say. It's just been really embarrassing for them, embarrassing for us, that we constantly push it, and he's trying to get it sorted. So it will happen sometime before Christmas, hopefully.
This Christmas?
Yeah,
this Christmas.
They did give us a quicker option of same product but potentially a different colour. So the decision was, we said no rush, make sure it's the same stone.
Yep.
Didn't it come from Melbourne?
Okay.
Yes.
And the other question I have been asked is, when will Campbell Street get their foot paving and work done for that, which is budgeted from last year?
So as soon as Craig and the team went and talked to Mrs. Johnson, so we relied on them to trim their heads back.
Okay.
So they're fully aware of that. As from last week, so as soon as the hedge is trimmed back, we've now come up with the alignment for the footpath, and it's ready to go as soon as the hedge is trimmed.
And also, speaking of hedges, you've just reminded me, a couple of weeks ago I was up East Baghdad Road, and some senior people that you've got there asked me to have a look when I came back down to the intersection with the highway, because I was going to be turning to go north. They said, just be careful as you go. The trees that are along in those gardens by the heading north. So I looked I looked again the other day at the Tosterans, and there's a big pine tree, wattle sort of tree. That's starting to block the view of people turning as you go north. And the way the trucks were coming down the other day, they just felt, even though it's only 80, they're fair pelting down there. So if you've got an elderly person that's a bit hesitant...
It's quite senior, right?
I think it's just crossing there. Yeah, it's just crossing. Yeah.
So are the trees in the road reserve or private?
Well, I think that probably private property, but they're going to have to do something because they're coming out over and you won't be able to see. I think we've got an issue in the lake. Someone can just have a look at those and see what you come up with, but this lady is quite concerned that
your vision's impaired.
Their vision, yeah.
You know, you could put a mirror from the nearest cage. It's difficult, wouldn't it be, to tell in private people?
If they're not, if the branches and the trees are not overhanging the boundary, we have very little authority, or no authority, other than to cling to their good selves.
Well, maybe you're down that way over the weekend or something, you can have a look and see what I'm talking about. But there was a hedge and there is a singular tree that's large, and it's only going to get larger.
Well, bring to your attention at the end, I guess.
Yep. Thank you, that's all for me.
He's had a couple of stone things as well. The trough. Any progress there?
DA's about to be lodged, or has been lodged.
DA's been lodged. That's great news.
Yeah. Well, I think
it's imminent. Honestly, the first part is there.
The stone trough, the DA, is going to be a DA lodged. Have you heard from the seed?
Haven't received yet.
Not received as yet.
It's imminent, I know, it's already to be lodged. Brad might not have got to keep the ownership.
I talked to Brad last week and he said it was very close.
The other thing that I was worried about at that time was the sign of the pool too. Is that how's Mr. Shane going with the development?
He gave me an update last week. It's coming together. Needs a little bit longer, so when he's got that ready, just before tree to install it, we'll pull that big blue sign out, so that is the only. The artwork is the only thing there.
Okay. So did you give us a time? Or?
He didn't give me a time, but it looked like he sent me a couple of images, but I forward the images to you so that you can see where he is. But I think it's taken a little bit longer when you see some of the intricacies of the work around the swimmer. I think that's a bit challenging for him at this point in time, but yeah, he's pretty confident. He's got the sandstone. We just need to organise the wording on the plaque. If you can have a think about what that might be with the graphic that I gave you, as to how we might put those a couple of logos and what you might want to call it, or if it's got a name, or the installation's got a name. So I just need to polish that up a bit because that'll take just a little while to get the plaque done. The bronze plaque. And so, before Christmas.
Do you want to give a reason?
Sure.
The RV park at Kenton.
Roadside stop, isn't it?
Roadside stop, isn't it? There's. It's now turning into a camping ground, and there's two or three tents there that will be all the time. There needs to be some sort of control there. I don't know what the van's not so bad, but the camping ground is getting a bit out of control.
I've had people talking
about it. Yeah, I think there's that road, so he's on his house there. They just sort of use that shortcut down to the toilet to wherever they could be probably using the toilets and whatnot. I don't know what to do. Maybe there's some possibility of either a sign there saying no camping or something like that helps. But
there is a sign that provides for a two-night maximum stopover.
Yeah, perhaps for the vehicles, but not for the actual, you know, these people have got tents up.
I've got a door, and I don't know if it's
Mentioned that they may very well be working at Bridgewater on the bridge coming back to Kempton to either camp or to stay in the stopover. So that's one report I've had.
Yeah, that's what I mentioned.
Okay.
And that area behind there, there's a drain that runs down along the back of Don's house and Roy and Dodd's house. It's locked up. And the water comes over the top there. There's a storm water that runs down the side of Roy and Linda's place, Dodd's. But the water's not getting to that storm water because the drain on either side of it has culled over to Don's house.
John and Roger?
Yeah. And that's blocked up.
Of Kempton that their son had taken his granddaughter to the playground, and when they got to the playground they had two people from the stopover, a male and a lady. The lady was in the nude, having a bath, having a wash at the tap that's in the park. Now this little granddaughter was only two, so she was probably oblivious to it.
Show public nudity not good.
She had a towel apparently and she put that around her after she finished and went back to their van or whatever, but
I would suggest this might be one of the campers as opposed to a van.
Yeah, well maybe, but the person that was telling me was horrified.
No, that could be a police contact.
Yeah, that was an issue. I'll try that attack. Yeah.
Okay. So I'm just letting you know.
I think
Yeah.
And I'm not sure what liability the government's got for all of this. I'm not sure.
There's a bit of a disconnect between the RV park and the facilities, but possibly we'll be wasting it in the bathrooms. You've got to leave the park and actually cross the main street and access those facilities. Would it be sort of an aggregation of those facilities possibly to make it a more holistic?
There is some short toilet and shower block over there that's accessible on the payment, but yeah, terms of free access to the public toilet. But, again, it's that just council. It's an informal roadside stopover. It's not a caravan park. It's just a roadside stopover. It has no development approval as such.
Are they homeless, the people that are turning into
that? No,
well,
I don't
know exactly, but it's been treated as a campsite for semi-permanent.
This is the same thing with Ivans. It was very much a tourism initiative to try to get people to stop overnight. And some people really enjoyed it being there, and others not so much enjoyed it being there.
I've certainly got some more images I can send you.
But certainly, the feedback from Lake Dolan and Kellington Park Committee is that they love the campers being there and they've got to cater for it. And then we, if the hotel accommodation, so
oh, that's right.
There's completely new, different views.
Yeah, that's something that was raised too. If the hotel goes ahead, we're going to have to find another space because.
Or we don't find another space.
And many of them use the pool.
Yes, well, yeah, you've heard the arguments for them and support them, that they just buy petrol, they shop, they, and others will say that they don't spend it all. So it's a whole lot of debate around it. But yeah. Certainly, I don't think from a council perspective we want to be entertaining the idea of looking at developing a formal caravan park and being the operator of a caravan park.
Mm-hmm. I thought some time ago we were going to have a go at rezoning that as a caravan park. And we decided for some reason or other not to do it because we were concerned about competitive neutrality or some rubbish like that.
Particularly the overflow area beside Callington Park, certainly the proponents of the hotel have indicated that if they invest in that location, that's the last thing they want to be looking out over is a stopover area for camper vans.
Considerable donations of all the people that stop over there. Just considerable sum of campaign activities.
So, there's all those issues. And yeah, if we get into managing a caravan park effectively, you have to get competitive neutrality principles and all that come into play. And finding someone to manage it's another thing.
Yeah, there's all sorts
to manage. It's a big issue.
It is.
And finally, would it be possible to give a little bit of an update as to where the progress is with the development of the OT hotel?
Yeah, what we can just give some maintaining communication, primarily with Ben Tate, as the principal representative of THM, Proprietary Limited. They're continuing to review their design plans, and following that, they are continually reviewing their business plan. At the present time, the indicative capital cost is certainly in excess of where they want it to be. So they're trying to find a balance there. I know that through the election process, they were lobbying the electoral of the parties to commit some possible funding for either regional development / tourism. Not aware of how successful they were as part of that process, but they're still very much maintaining communications with us and continually reviewing their plans and business plans and design plans to try and make something work. But very much focused still on the proposal.
Did we give them any timelines to?
I was about to say, through our last discussion, we think it would be appropriate to revisit the agreement that we had between Council and THN and look at examining what the time frames were, looking at the reasons why the timelines either have been met, haven't been met, and look at renegotiating the agreement.
I think that's worthwhile.
Yep. Yeah.
I'm not saying there are people out there, but maybe, you know. Yeah, we've got to be a bit more responsible about pushing out forward if we can.
Sorry, Mr. Meredith. Thing come to my head. Could I just ask Joe how Sunday went at Chauncey? Know your neighbour, get to meet your neighbour. How did it go? Oh wow. Oh, well done. Yeah, good to hear.
Great day. Yes, a good day.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, that was going a bit longer than we meant to. That concludes the council's file. We've now at other questions on.
Should we like to quickly run through declarations of pecuniary interest?
Are there any declarations of pecuniary interest?
No.
Supplementary items to the agenda. You meant was it a property item or what was it?
It's in relation to rubbish.
Rubbish item?
Waste.
That's what we call it, waste item.
Question on notice. A question without notice.
Well, do we resolve that we...
Is there any other supplementary ones?
Steve? All right then, can we include that on the agenda for... I think we wanted that in...
closed session. So we still need to accept it as an item on the agenda.
Very good. So I'll say we'll do that. There's a recommendation then that we do that.
Move.
Thank you, Councillor
Pearson. And I'll second.
Second, Councillor King. Those in favour? And again. That's very good. Another question time. Another item. Any members? Hello?
In the interest of protecting my personal integrity with regard to the Kingsdale story, I did make a point of quoting when it was not my language in that story, just to protect my opinion.
Yeah, right.
Sorry, there are quotes from members of the hotel.
Correct. They're not your quotes, they're their quotes.
That's right.
Yeah. That's what concerned
me. Okay.
But you did have a soft press, and
yes.
But it didn't clarify all the statements that they made.
No.
Anyway, it's up to the Mayor and the General Manager.
Yes. Running on a very tight deadline, you can also put something in if you can just follow. Yeah. Right. When we were at Tunbridge last meeting, I was talking to a woman there who was expressing how dangerous it is exiting onto the Midlands Highway without having good vision either way, and she was saying that her little car is not very fast. Wondered whether some mirrors could be installed to see oncoming traffic. I thought that was a state government responsibility on our part. Would we have to make an appeal to the state government, or would she, or could we do it through council?
We could certainly refer it to someone within the department, because they certainly wouldn't be aware of it.
No.
So, there's only one change.
There's only one change. And turns, by the way, apparently, particularly you can't see, you don't get a lot of notice of cars coming south.
Off the bridge.
Yes.
So it's mainly an issue for northbound traffic.
Turning
north. Yes. Turning north. Yes. The southbound. Yeah. I'm not sure how the camera fixes it though.
I don't know.
We've got the other side of the road. Perhaps you can have one.
Oh, yeah.
Points.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can actually see the river. Anyway, just important that you can connect the guidance to the council that would be. And we do have a couple of problems, and we don't get to talk about it, but I just wonder if Council has thought about how this might impact on the amalgamation process, if you have any insights into what might happen.
I personally don't have any insights. I think the dust needs to settle.
It was quite strange in the amalgamation of local government reform. Didn't really mention at all through the election process. So you can only assume that the Liberal Party will maintain its position of no forced amalgamation. In terms of those that it may do or enter into an arrangement with to form government, we don't know what their policy position is.
They haven't got rid of our people.
No, we don't know.
So it's all in limbo.
So we can only assume that the Liberal Party will maintain its current policy position in the absence of them changing during the election process.
Once the minister is appointed, I intend to seek council support to write to the minister asking him or her that they still stand by the former Premier's statement that he made publicly that there will be no forced amalgamation. So we've just got to wait until the minister is appointed, which would be probably 3 weeks away. And wait for some discussion.
Well, good morning, councillors. My name's Nick Bendel. I'm literally just down the tracks from railway at Chatham Park at Bandy. I'd like to take the opportunity to thank the council for voting recently to support the preservation of the word Bandy in the road down there. If you haven't seen this book, it's 150 years old and it has name, and I don't propose to read the whole book to you, just close up and like it for me. In the foreword of the book, the CEO said that he writes in talking about the infrastructure that they wish to future-proof the network so that it and the many men and women who serve on it, as well as those who seek to preserve its heritage, may also be the remembered for generations to come. And when I read that deal somewhere, that's where this initiative really came back into force and put Dan back on the map. And local heroes to call them for preserving heritage was part of the club, and they were loving the world of him at the soldier to Arthur Plummer. And Arthur was very much a person who was a rich source of history and preserving that history in pioneers like the predecessors now, like the Mount Park in Barbets, the division of the War II, 1978. Jeff Howard, who was around the time of the 1920s, and Stockdale, etc. And my wife, Julia Thompson, was very passionate about preserving the heritage of the area. So again, thank you so much for supporting the initiative. I understand, and also wish to thank Brad Williams and others of Townsend for their support in researching and developing the guide of the board. I understand that the place name says Bank has approved that name. Within 2 days, that's a world record. So thank you so much. And just finally, this morning, it's like we'll have a giveaway He hunted around gambling this morning and found the book in his pockets, one little council place and the sea place in the morning.
Changed, there we go about notifying what processes
talk to road names at this moment to see what they may need, require. So, yeah, it's having manpower to do that at the present time. Anything else?
We don't want to have our constituents involved in fires and vans, etc. When they do that, we need to be able to get them to the right place.
Water should have a regular maintenance program, as you say, whether they do or not, probably not. But at this point, an appeal station in Calbrook is not on their radar, and we have to ask the question.
Could we ask again?
I'm 12. which is council acting as a planning authority pursuant to the land use planning approvals act 1993 of council strategy land use planning scheme. And this is a minor amendment to development application DA 180090. And we've got two people here, haven't we? Senior Planning Officer Louise Brown, authorised by Managing Development and Public Services Brand Finn, they're both present, and we've also got
Danielle,
who, as I understand it, did the original
For heritage.
Now, councillors have obviously read through that. Perhaps maybe if you lead us off, Danielle, would that be appropriate in speaking?
Or the words of problem?
Or how do you want to run it on?
Yeah, I'll just give a little intro, if you don't mind that.
So?
I'll just give a little intro.
However you want to run it, guys, that's up to you.
There's a couple of points I just wanted to make clear before we start discussing the minor amendment, and I'm sure Danielle's here, she can take us through the heritage assessment. So the minor amendment to the planning permit, that planning permit was granted in 2018, which was under the interim planning scheme. So that is why the assessment today for the minor amendment is assessed under the interim planning scheme and not the Tasmanian planning scheme. So Danielle was engaged by council to make a heritage assessment based on the interim scheme for the minor amendment application, because Danielle provided the initial heritage assessment when the development application was put to council in the first instance in 2018. So Danielle is here today to discuss the heritage assessment of the change in material. So the minor amendment is put towards council because there is a change in the surface material in two areas, which is contrary to the planning permit. Danielle, would you like to?
Yeah. Thanks very much for having me here today. The original assessment back in late 2018. The hard and soft landscaping, by soft landscaping I mean the trees, the plantings, etc., that were approved as part of the landscape plan, and the hard landscaping, it was approved on the basis of the contemporary form, colours, materials, finishes and buildings. So with a development such as this one, if you're going to introduce quite a contemporary form into a heritage area and directly adjacent to a heritage site of significant value, not just for the municipality but Tasmania, I'd say Australia as well, given it's the only mill in the southern hemisphere, then there does need to be consideration for what surrounds that development in terms of the idea of the original landscaping was the softening effect. Incidentally, when the Callington Mill redevelopment was approved approximately 10-15 years ago, there was a condition from the Heritage Council in relation to the landscaping around that site. So when you go to the mill site, that is why there is a large expanse of appropriately coloured sandstone hued, I guess you'd call it, gravel around that, to serve as a complementary hard landscaping finish rather than a contrast. Now, when this application was assessed by myself back in December 2018, the view was it is quite a contemporary building, so they're the distillery buildings. So the distillery buildings were justified on the basis that they looked at traditional outbuilding barn forms, typically around Georgian industrial sites such as the mill. So that is where the inspiration came from. Now, it was my view, if you're going to plan fairly contemporary buildings in terms of the form and the roof pitch were looked at in terms of making them appropriate, but if you're going to insert what is quite a contemporary development, and you've got aspects of that development, you've got large areas of tinted glass, it was my view at the time that it was important, and it was conditioned accordingly, that the hard landscaping soften the effect of those buildings. Now, when you look at that site, the distillery site, it's extremely visually prominent from the Callington Mill site. It's there, right in front of you. It's equally visually prominent from the Esplanade. Not such an issue from High Street. It tucks behind the Lake Frederick Inn. But the visual prominence is particularly noticeable near the entrance. In the Esplanade, it sort of opens out to a what I was looking at in my assessment as being a sea of, in my view, industrial-style concrete that you'd more typically see on an industrial site in a non-heritage area. It also forms a forecourt area to the distillery buildings at the back, as it appears from Callington Mill. The finish that you see that has been done, it's not about, the assessment wasn't about punishing the developer for going ahead and putting in something contrary to their permit. It was looking at whether or not the alternative material that they've inserted was appropriate in and of itself. So the answer to that, quite simply, was no, it's not. It would not have been approved under the original permit. There would have been further information request saying this is problematic, it is strongly recommended you change this if you want to proceed. Now, their original application in 2018, the heritage consultants acting for the developer were Purcell. Purcell specifically endorsed the proposed landscaping, which at that point was a sandstone-hued gravel finish around the building, entirely around the building. And it was felt that that, along with the soft landscaping, the planted landscaping, that that would appropriately soften the development. It would be very much complementary to what has gone on in terms of landscaping within Callington Mill. Now, the unfortunate thing that has occurred, which had to be considered as part of this amendment, was the removal of the wall. So 6 metres were approved, and that was very much borderline as to whether or not that was considered acceptable. It's quite a large opening. I mean, it's really, it's wider than your average driveway, you know, double the width of your average driveway. It was my feeling that the developer was looking to open up the site to traffic coming to the mill, because the mill does generate a significant amount of traffic and visitors, and to draw them into that site. Now, the issue that there is because of the wall removal, I think it's 21.7 metres was removed instead of the 6 metre of approval. The sites are now completely open to each other. That compounds the issue of this inappropriate, unsympathetic landscaping material. As I've already said, it's also problematic from within Esplanade. It's within the road reservation, the access and into the site. In terms of the assessment, if this material had been proposed in 2018, it would not have been supported at all. As a retrospective approval, the fact that it's retrospective is irrelevant. It's whether or not would you approve it if it wasn't there. Well, the answer is no, it would not. If you have a look around heritage sites around the state, for example, Port Arthur, they do not employ this sort of finish. You're generally looking at a softer sandstone or lighter coloured, creamy coloured gravel finish to soften any hard traffic pedestrian areas and around buildings. Things like bitumen are usually pulled well away from buildings, where they can be within the sites, but any pedestrian areas are pretty carefully considered, and that has been the case for the last 30, 40 years in heritage practice, that the setting of a building is as equally as important as what you put into that in terms of built structures. On that basis, in undertaking the assessment, it just could not be recommended for approval. It is not a material that you would typically see in a heritage site. It is not an appropriate material to the extent that it's been applied within that site and the visibility of where it's been located. There are portions of the site, for example, if you look at aerial photos of the site, page 106, you can see the extent of the landscaping on the property. At the hard landscaping around the building, you've got a service area at the back. It's like there's a reversing area. That's not readily visible from anywhere. That small portion is not readily visible. You have a look at the northernmost part of the building. It sort of juts out. It's a manoeuvring, reversing area. That's not readily visible. The forecourt area directly opposite, that triangle area, opposite the windmill, that is, and the driveway area, and the crossover and forecourt area from Esplanade is really highly visible. In my view, it's a really unfortunate impact on the values of that site and that area. This, in my view, is it's probably the most, it would be the most important site in that township. For that reason, it has been put into a heritage precinct. And when doing development in heritage precincts, it's not just about the buildings, it's about the setting. And the borough charter enshrines that the setting is as important as buildings. Whether or not the developer is interested in any alternatives, that's a separate issue outside of the assessment and decision on this minor amendment. It needs to be determined, is this concrete? And I think you've got to push away the fact that it's already there. That's irrelevant, because making a decision subject to something being there, I think what that can do potentially is members of the community can take the attitude that it's better to ask forgiveness than ask permission. And I think that is a deeply problematic message to give to a community, particularly when this site is so significant. And it's not just significant for this municipality, it's significant for Tasmania, and you don't have many sites like this in Australia, full stop. So that's why I've come to this decision. The extent of it, there hasn't even been an attempt in terms of this material to try and come halfway, maybe to soften the colour of it so it's not that sort of raw grey concrete. There were conditions placed on the planning permit, so it was that important that it was specifically pointed out on the planning permit, this is what we're approving. That was endorsed by their heritage consultants, Purcell. They've now got a different heritage consultant who has argued that it's acceptable. I completely disagree with Mr. Corney's opinions. A one-page assessment, in my view, is not an adequate assessment of this site owing to its significance within the Oatlands Township. Mm-hmm. And I guess trying to window dress with the planting of a hedge, which the Heritage Council had endorsed. I think it was like a hawthorn hedge, specifically they gave two or three species. That does not make the problem go away. It doesn't address the impact of the development when viewed from within Esplanade. It has zero impact on that. It's still intended to keep that at least 6 metre opening into the site, so you've got the sites now bleeding into each other. They used to be quite distinct. They were distinctly separate sites. Now you go there and you think, this is all just one big complex. You know, these distillery buildings are part of that windmill. Well, no, they're not actually.
That's a good question.
Go for it.
Didn't we agree that they had to rebuild that wall that they knocked down?
I believe that's a compliance issue. I'll pass that to the manager.
And I'll just add another question, at the same time, Grant or yourself. You know, what enforcement options do we have available to this? Because, you know, these guys aren't without their means to do this properly, and the fact that they're, you know, taking shortcuts and, you know, taking liberties with what was agreed, I think we should, you know, really hold them to a higher standard than anyone else in the community, particularly given the significance and the fact this guy's not, you know, scraping
scraping coppers out of his wallet to go and pay for a meal at night. You know, he should be held to the highest standards, and we should be enforcing that.
Answer to your two questions, Councillor Miller. Certainly in relation to the wall, I'm aware that Council, as the sub-leasee on behalf of Parks, has responsibility in relation to that wall. The intention was, I understand, was to reinstate a portion of that wall as per the lease conditions, and Tim may be able to elaborate further. In relation to the compliance overall with the original DA, I can speak of it at the closed council, but certainly we're aware of a number of non-compliances as it relates to the original DA, kind of back in 2019. Certainly that's within our means to pursue that. We're looking at that actively at the moment, and we will hope to have some resolution on that within the next few weeks, in fact. So, but Tim can maybe answer.
Mr. Gray, you finished your...
I've finished my overall summary of the assessment, so if there's any questions, no, it's fine.
Just to make it clear to councillors too, Ms. Gray was appointed as an independent assessor because of the council's involvement with this matter, of the original DA, and so the Gertz aspect of it. She was engaged to have that as a
and we've made a decision rather than double down at home, getting our own plan and structures with our personnel. So we're getting to you for being able to continue and review that. Thank you. Now, there's a recommendation there.
I'd like to just make a quick comment regarding the issue regarding the opening of the wall. Mm-hmm. It was clearly Mr. Hibbrin's aim, desire to maintain the existing opening section. We've made it very clear on numerous occasions that if basically needs to go through another similar process to this, to if he wishes to try and expand the width of the opening, he must go through either an amendment, seek an amendment to the permit. And we've had numerous discussions around that, and nothing's been forthcoming.
He's not the entire wall in the interim, is he?
Some of it has since collapsed. But there is without going into too much detail, there was a condition assessment undertaken prior to commencement of works, and we had an obligation to rebuild those sections. Apparently during the construction process other sections were damaged, and some of which have been partially rebuilt. But essentially we're waiting on the final outcome regarding this. If they don't proceed to lodge an amendment to the permit, then we'll go ahead and proceed to rebuild the wall based on the permit conditions, which is the six
Can I just clarify something? Sorry. Grant, have we asked the applicant to submit a minor amendment for the wall, or have we said that would require a new DA? I'm sorry, that puts you on the spot because these issues have been ongoing with the applicant since 2022, and that was obviously before Grant's time and before my time. But Danielle,
can you answer? Yeah, I can answer that. I've had discussions with staff that are now no longer there, as well as Mr. Williams, just in terms of getting a background of what had happened since 2018 to the present day. The Crown have refused to give their consent, so the Crown need to give their consent in order to make that wall amendment application, and the Crown have refused their consent.
Oh.
So that's not going to happen?
And generally the Crown refuse consent when they're not happy with what's gone on. That's been my own experience with a separate planning application south of Hobart where works had occurred. It's actually a retaining wall and a water course, and they weren't happy with the works. They didn't want them in there. They would, and as a result, they refused to give their consent. So they don't want to give their consent for works that they don't agree to and they're not happy with. My understanding is that their preference is for the wall to be reconstructed as it was to... the 6 metre opening, and that's it.
Yes.
on the same spread.
That's my understanding.
I spoke with that. We now proceed to rebuild the wall.
Well, the options would be compliance with the condition or enforcement for council to pursue.
A curiosity question. Had the concrete been tinted in a sandstone colour, how would that have been viewed?
That's an interesting question, actually. It's a good one. It would depend on the actual finish. So if you have a look at page 106, you can see there's a forecourt area adjacent to the Esplanade, and that's quite a warm gravel finish. It would be my view that what would have made it more acceptable would be a comparable finish, a sort of a, more of a warmer sandstone colour, and some degree of exposed aggregate to give it a bit of texture. So not smooth, if you can imagine, a lot of houses these days are rendered just smooth, shiny painted finishes. I'd be thinking an exposed aggregate concrete where you can see the texture in it, and it's a smooth, hard, it's good in terms of high traffic areas, but also the colour. So part the way, would have got there part the way, but it's my view that to deal with this effectively, it's a matter of looking at colour and texture.
Just on the issue that you're talking about, you can incorporate an adhesive to that finish, so it's not loose stone like it is in the courtyard. In the other courtyard, in the around the other building. So it would be a firm walking surface rather than. Out here, it's a gravel, loose gravel surface. I would have thought that even from a safety point of view, it would be better if there was an adhesive to the same coloured stone that's in the other area to match it. But just following on that, just clarify for my sake, this application has nothing to do with wall. Is that correct?
Yeah, the absence of the wall needs to be considered in terms of...
That's been ongoing for some time, but it's not part of this...
No, the removal of the wall is not part of this.
Right.
It is purely for the concrete as an alternative to the material to the approved gravel.
We all need to understand that the wall is a different issue. It's been ongoing for a long time and needs resolution, but it's not part of this application.
No, it's not.
Minor amendment. Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I'm more than happy to move the motion, but I'd just like consideration of part three that we ask for consideration of an alternative surface that meets the performance criteria and is compatible with the adjoining gravel area around the precinct. I think whether that's acceptable was part three. Rather than
1 and 2 are just our grounds for refusal.
Yes.
I think it's advice. I think it's an advice clause.
Yeah.
Right. I'm happy with that. As an advice, I think we've got to say we want to fix this. We're not going to say no. We need it fixed, and it's up to Graham Corney to come up with some resolution, some alternative material that would fit the performance criteria.
So I think probably the words are really important that you use, rather than, I think the word that you used was the complementary.
So compatible.
Compatible. Yeah, compatible is a bit of a loaded word in planning. Compatible means capable of existing in harmony with, and you're starting to get into a really argumentative, but we're saying it is, I think, sympathetic.
Right.
It is a sympathetic, complementary, a better word. I mean, you can have whole appeals over particular words and what their meanings are, believe it or not. So I think sympathetic is a good one in terms of...
Well, how would you put it in
this phrase? How would I put it? I would use the word sympathetic. I wouldn't use the word
give natural.
Look, I can draft something up before I leave, but it would be along the lines of the developer is instructed, well, it's recommended that they consider sympathetic alternative materials to replace the current contact that do not cause detriment to the setting.
And make the performance correct.
So what you're alluding, Councillor Christie, is the recommendation with that additional advice clause as draft.
So I think for the purposes of minutes, we'll purely note that an advice clause is to be provided to the applicant. Rather than actually come up with a word.
Should this be appealed, I think it's going to look better if we have an advice.
I think there's probably some advice there, right?
I don't think they can appeal under the Act, the minor amendment.
Can't they?
No.
Not minor amendment. No, minor amendment. Council make the decision and that's it.
It's not appeal.
No appeal rights for the minor amendment. I think it still should be worded.
Yes.
Appropriately.
Thanks very much for giving us that further assistance.
But still, it doesn't change an advice clause.
But I might just ask the question, should we actually include that advice clause in the decision or just purely note that an advice clause is to be provided to the applicant?
If I may, I would suggest that it is. We just stick to the decision.
Right.
And keep the advice separate to the decision. But if Danielle is happy to, she can... put together a sentence which we will include in our cover letter when we notify the applicant of council's refusal.
Right. Yep. Okay, I'm comfortable with that. So the advice will not be recorded here.
It will follow the recommendation
provided in the reply to the applicant.
We will note that the applicant is going to get a notification of the refusal and accompanying that notification will be an advice for us.
If I could add through Mr. Mayor, I spoke with the applicant at length yesterday afternoon in relation to this agenda item. There was some discussion that they would withdraw the item from the agenda. Was their intention to maintain it as a council item for discussion today? They were happy with the outcome, but certainly the advice note would go some way to potentially indicating, you know, we want to see some mitigation. That's my opinion. Resident of what's in situ, Danielle last week, in relation to what you could do to mitigate the concrete. You literally can't. It's not exposed aggregate in the true sense. But so we are literally looking at, you know, some treatment to that surface to try and make it more sympathetic to the heritage setting.
Right, I've got a mover and a seconder along those lines. I'll put the motion unless there's any further discussion. No? All right, those in favour?
Aye.
You can? The ayes have it. Thanks, councillors. That concludes the session of council acting as a planning authority. We gave it to the officer reports and we have one from the manager infrastructure. And words reports currently acting. Craig Watley.
Hello.
I thought Mr. Watley may have been heading this way, but in his absence, Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to take any comments, questions, or try and answer any.
Thank you, Mr. for that.
Based on my knowledge of what's happening.
The back of
Tick.
Very good.
Tick.
And we've also got the investigation. Yes, any other matters or questions in relation to acting manager infrastructure for the world?
Tunbury Bridge started.
They
on site?
Going north in the last week or so?
No. No, I'm definitely.
Any big happening on the bridge?
Nothing.
No.
Anyway.
Are they
okay?
Or do you like to put of anything happening before Easter is new?
Well, they do have a change has been left, I think, so it's a question of stuff.
It's all right to go. We're ready to go.
All right, any other questions?
I have one. We've done some grading on Eldersley Road, around Eldersley, Clifton Vale Road, which is really great, but Bluff Road is feeling a bit missed out. They didn't get their road graded while they were up there. So the question is, can they and when will they get Bluff Road done? So they've done Clifton Vale Road, and they actually parked their vehicles on the corner of Eldersley Road and Bluff Road and didn't go up and do it. So they were getting a bit excited because they saw the machinery.
I'll take that one on notice.
I've got two for you, Mayor.
Yes.
If you start down this end of Rindaston Road, as you go up past Green Hills, there's a nasty long narrow pothole that's getting deeper in the bitumen that wants plugging. Because it's just roughly the width of a tyre, but it's just getting deeper and deeper and deeper. And if someone gets wheel matting on a motorbike, they're in trouble. But as you go up Rindaston Road, if you were going through to Stoner Road, a number of the sealed sections going up there have got potholes in the bitumen. And at the Stoner Road junction, there's a lot of potholes in the bitumen.
Yep.
Then the other one, question I got asked, Chatham Street in Oaklands, when they have their funerals and they go to the graveyard, if you get a big funeral, there's cars parked all over the place going up Chatham Street. And the question that was asked was, can the verges be levelled out past the cemetery going to the south so that it's easier to mow and also gives overflow parking for funerals?
Why do I think our maintenance responsibility finishes at the entry to the cemetery? But if it extends all the way through, there's no reason why we can't run a grader up the side and level it off. For some reason...
The next block over belongs to Crown.
For some reason, my eye's telling me we only maintain a certain length of it, and above that's going to be Crown, so...
It is.
I think this has come up to 4 years ago when it was decided that we don't, our responsibility ends at the entrance to the cemetery.
I will check, but my memory tells me that might be the case. And we don't want to get into maintaining Monday roads.
No.
It's
a bad prison.
Bad prison.
Catfish?
Mm-hmm. No.
I was asked by the property owner out at Eastwood Road, Rooney's Road and Keeney Road were graded and trees cut down because there were issues with stop trucks getting caught on the trees, but there was no action on Eastwood Road. And
Eastwood.
The council do have a key to the property to do that, and the owner was just wondering when they're out that way. You might ask the acting manager of roads to. Thank you.
Thank
Thank you. I'm happy to talk to him if he wants to talk.
It's Helen.
Thank you.
Very good.
And thank you for the gravel on the end of Nala Road, Inglewood Road. Except it's got very corrugated in the last 2 weeks. Extremely corrugated, so we can't win.
Rain's going to come. Rain's going to come.
Yes, I did promise.
Thank you. It's with love.
I'm sure if you'd have unrelected, I would have been here.
Okay, I would have been here. I could have been here for us, but it's really been rain.
It'll rain next week, the first year. So it'll rain.
Yeah,
just before.
Yeah,
just nice. All right, so the recommendation of the instruction works for the board to be received. In relation to notes, got to move it in.
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell, singer.
Yep.
Thank you, Councillor Blackwell. Those in favour? Yeah, I have it. Thank you very much. The Heritage Project Program Report there from Brad Williams. Do I have a move in the back room? Thank you. Who is that?
Second.
Councillor Campbell?
Yep.
And second, Councillor Christie. Any discussion?
Nymphs and Jesus. It's only a few dollars, isn't it?
Okay, very good. Those in favour?
Aye.
Thank you, councillors. Now we go to the M Programs Manager report. Ms. Weedy?
And I'm moving.
A mover there?
Second.
Councillor Campbell moves, second. Councillor, second. Discussion there?
Just a question, did we actually purchase a steam weeder or did we get a demonstration and it didn't work?
My recollection is that we did some further assessment but we bought something in Lewis. It was more expensive. What did we buy?
We did buy it.
I thought, yes. Anyway, they must have found a model that would do the trick.
Is it effective?
Does it work?
I don't know.
We'll get a report. Can we ask Mary?
What Mary?
How's this thing working out?
We might be able to sell it by going through it.
Alright, so there you go, second. Those in favour?
Aye.
Animal management report from Rachel Collis. Animal management.
Further recommendations, Mr. Mayor, just could I ask something? When Rachel says dog attacks, is that on other animals or on people? And I think it might be handy to know.
Animal causing non-serious.
That's right. Because a person is going to end up in a claim. Animals sometimes do, sometimes don't.
Yeah. But we'll just ask to put in brackets whether it be person or animal. Dog attack mentioned.
Yeah, that's fine. Thank you.
So I'll move in a second and I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
And we go across to the open white centre and the report there with the statistics.
I'll put the motion that the information may be received and
second. Noted. Second.
Thank you very much, Councillor Fish. Councillor Kennedy. No comments? Councillors, and move on then to the development of the Southern Midlands Community Infrastructure Plan. Deputy General Manager Andrew Benson. Thank you. Councillors saw the draft plan at the last council meeting. I've tried to encapsulate within the rather lengthy agenda item all the facts so that it is transparent and also include the information out of these forms in the detail that was provided by the people that provided the facts. I encapsulated the last item, which appeared to be one of passion in the feedback, and that was around the dog park. We got feedback from a number of people, seeing that as a high priority, and I thought it was incumbent on me to explore it further with the feedback from Blackpool and Cullington Park Management Committee. It's the inclusion of their notes and the comments in respect of location. So from my understanding from the comments, the Flax Mill area was the second option, with Cullington Park being the first option. And it's clear that the management committee have decided to progress the Flax Mills area with parts. It is rather complex, but certainly it's the chance to come up with a solution that the dog park proponents are pretty happy with. And I think that was one of their first priorities when they first started this discussion some maybe 12 months ago. So I think that that's on the journey to resolution, a complex one, and certainly note that council does have commitment for dog parks to be trickled out across Southern Midlands, notably Hudlands and Campania, given the success of the Kempton dog park. But certainly seems to be quite comprehensive. The other items that are in there clearly making comments, and you'll see the response from Inspiring Plus in relation to those comments. And I have made an undertaking to progress any comments that are outside the scope of this community infrastructure plan that I will share with those management committees, with the Chelsea Bay, the Black Dalton Calvin Park Committee, or others, so that the information can be conveyed to the relevant parties for this information. So with that as an overview and noting the comments from the Deputy Mayor in relation to page 176, with some clarity around the Hudlands plan and the Lake Dalton plan. Thank you, Bob Wall, thank you. Apart from that, there's any other discussion that councillors would like to have in respect of those feedback comments from the people that made comments or indeed the response from this spoken place. Happy to share and consider it. If you think it has an impact on the overall. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Thank you very much.
Further recommendation, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Bishop. Second to that?
Yep.
Councillor Chappell. Any comments from councillors?
I'm just still opposed to giving Woodstock Football Club $45,000. I just think that's money thrown down the drain, given the cost we all know it's going to eventually take to bring that ground up to standard. And I could make any contribution to council from council retrospective, such that they would have had to have completed the works prior to us giving them any money, and that way we can be assured that A, they comply with, you know, the relevant standards, and B, they raise sufficient money in order to do it properly, and then we can give them, you know, a little rebate, refund, whatever we want to term it, at the end of the project, once they've demonstrated they've been able to raise the funds and do it properly. I don't think we should be doing that to them as an upfront.
Yeah, well, I hope that's a concern, and I think it's gone some of the way to addressing your concerns there, Councillor Miller, by saying that there needs to be a confirmation that the external sources of funding have been secured.
One of the problems with that wording is that, you know, it doesn't commit to what level of funding they need to secure, and I mean there's nothing in there specifically around that, but just from memory correctly, they've got $145,000 or something in total contributions, which isn't sufficient to carry out the works. And so I mean, either we give them a target, which makes it, you know, a bit difficult to come up, and then we have to do the work ourselves pretty much, or we wait till the work's completed, and then we, you know, say that you can have a rebate or some additional money after that.
I don't think, Mr. Mayor, that with their need to apply for further funds, if we put that condition on, that those funding bodies would accept that. I think we've got to make it clear, and we've made it clear, subject to conditions, and I think the conditions I think account for any concern about the $45,000. We've got to see documentation that they're going to be funded to the amount that is required to provide the upgrades. And I think if we put a caveat on it that we'll only give the money once the work is completed, I think the funding bodies would say, well, if I was the funding body, I'd say, well, you might decide to only give $20,000 and we might be required to top it up. I think it's putting a bit of a hurdle in front of it. I think that what we've done is sound, sensible, providing some support to the football club. And the main thing is that we have conditioned it appropriately, I think. I see that they can't proceed, and neither can we hand the money over until we see formal documentation.
It's just on that note, Tony, we are giving them the block of land to do this, so it's not insignificant. We're transferring an asset into
the land. I understand that. And mind you, I remind you that we also provided the Mount Pleasant Football Club with
32,000.
Something, 30,000.
Mm.
So, you know, this is not setting a question.
I guess I have a question in relation to the grounds. Given that we were unable to insure the grounds as a football playing ground, and our insurance company were reluctant or refused to insure the ground as a football ground. I guess my concern is that they get all of this, build this fantastic football ground, and unable to insure the grounds. So what happens to it then? Is my concern.
I'll probably just make a couple of comments, Mr. Mayor.
Mm.
I think, as we talked about at the last meeting, we're at this impasse. The Woodstar Footy Club keep saying that they need $45,000. And I think in looking at the note after recommendation 6, It specifically says that it's consistent with its expectations, being the footy club's expectations, and from our perspective, has achieved compliance. Now, councillors, you may not have seen it, but at 8:30 this morning, we all received an email from Tony Cowles, president. And she makes reference to the AFL, Tasmania, supporting them playing cricket, and includes the letter as an attachment. And if I can just, so it's very selective in the reference to that letter, but the letter from AFL Tasmania saying they fully support Woodsdale playing at that ground under the condition of the venue being deemed safe for usage, considering the venue owner's insurance requirements. So, picking up on Councillor Blackman's point is, by transferring ownership to the Woodsdale Footy Club, they can determine their standards, providing whatever's built complies with the Act. If their insurers are happy to insure them to play football at that ground, that's not our worry. So I think the two key things are its expectations, and AFL are supporting on the basis that the owner's insurance are happy with it.
Yeah.
And the only way we can achieve that, that is picking up on your point, I think by us committing 45, subject to these conditions, it enables them to go to the grant funding bodies and say, yes, we have a commitment of 45,000 yeah. from the Southern Midlands. But it's contingent upon them taking ownership in the first instance.
Yeah.
That's my perspective.
And of course, the Woodstock people are kind of adamant that this is a multi-purpose football ground. It's a multi-purpose ground, so it's not just football. It's not just for the six games that they'll play every year. They're going to do other things there. They're going to crack a nice children's parties there.
So,
you know, all sorts of things. Robberies, perhaps, you know, whatever they're going to have down there, there'll be other things than football. So it's a community facility. And I think that's great. We're all very supportive of those sorts of things occurring in the Woodsdale area, so good on. But it's a question of whether or not the council is willing to support this process. And we've got a mover, Councillor Bisbee, a second, Councillor Blackburn.
Yeah, well, before you go too far, the last I heard from the club was they had encouraging prospects for finances.
Well, that's what happened, yes. Well, I had a commitment from the
Liberals.
The main to Liberal Party of Liberals.
And
Labour. Yes, and Labour. And I think there's probably a lot of personal donors in that area that would be putting their hands on their pockets.
I don't know about
that. Such a community. We'll see what happens, that's up to them.
Well, you'll see in the email that we received this morning, they're now wanting us to revisit the issue of signing off on their development application as the landowner. So we'll look at the implications of that at the next world.
Well, as it stands, it's not the right, is it not?
Yeah. Hmm? No, this is odd. Without having had an opportunity to think it through, we've got to go back and revisit what we're actually asking them to sign off on, and whether that places any risk on council.
Yeah.
Alternatively, we have to go through the transfer of ownership process in advance of, and then we don't need to sign off as the landowner.
So this is point four. The first instance is we're initiating a process to negotiate the terms and conditions associated with the possible transfer of the ownership. That's what we're asking the councillors to vote on today.
So are they relying upon the current submissions that they've made for a DA, as a DA?
In all communications, so obviously the council made the decision at the last meeting, to flag this as an alternative option, including the final version of the community infrastructure plan. In all subsequent emails, the letter this morning, there's just no reference whatsoever being made to this ownership issue.
No.
That's part of our condition, that they take ownership. Of course, we want to get rid of the responsibility. Insurance or any otherwise.
So, having made a decision, adopting the plan, and having, depending on the decision today, we're then in a firm position to advance these negotiations.
I can make one final point. If they take ownership of it and refuse insurance, they seem to me to be the type of people that will still play on that ground anyway.
They might be an outed Fraser because of the ODFA.
Mm.
Under the same insurance that the council are under, and the ODFA said straight away that ground has to come up to standard before any team is allowed out there. And I can reassure you, some of the teams in the ODFA, because I'm so involved in it, they would turn up and go, no way are we playing, and they would jump back on the bus and go home.
Yeah, just so there's no further.
Yeah, I think that's the concern that we've got with the insurance issue. Yeah.
Well, then we've got a second if the motion has support, or the recommendation has
Can we, split this into points 1 to 5, which I'm supportive of? I just don't support number 6.
All right.
Whether I have to vote for or against.
No, well, I can put 1 to 5, and we'll make those, I'll put those. So the move and a second is in relation to 1 to 5.
Yep.
Those in favour?
Aye.
Against, the ayes have it. As to 6, can I have the same mover and second again?
Yep.
Those in favour?
Aye.
And recording against Councillor Miller. Very good. The ayes have it. Elected members' statements. Are there any elected members' statements? Item 17 to 2.
I was just going to briefly say how you and I attended with our family members the launch of the new Tasmanian Devil Team.
Oh, we did.
And what a good night it was.
It was. Yes.
160,000 members.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. No, there was some.
Around 130 people at the RSL Club at Oatlands, and it was great to see local Brighton people and a local girl from York Plains showing off the new jumper, and
one member of the Central Hawks Junior Football Club managed to worm his way to the front of the picture.
quite a few St Kilda supporters there too.
He certainly wouldn't come out in public with a collar on. He had to go to the hall.
But no, it was a really good night, and there were people from all over southern Tasmania there, people from Hobart, Kenton, supporters. We had all the teams in the ODFA, I don't think anyone from Campbelltown, but they had their own function, so every other team had members, or quite a few members there, so it was a really great night. They did a really good job of how they did it. Mm.
Very good. Any other statements? No. Very good. Thank you for that. We are now up to item 17.2.3, which is the matter there where the Manager Developer and Environmental Service, Mr. Finn, is going to lead the way.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Yep.
As Council will recall, in January I attempted to introduce a policy in relation to fees, remission and rebate policy. I was aware that we had one already in existence that applied to non-profits, community and sporting groups. The intention was not to duplicate, but rather than aggregate into a single policy that can be applied to both applicants for applications to Council and or not-for-profits, community and sporting groups. So what we have here is an amendment to existing policy to account for a fees, rebate or remission, of course, of DAs and other notifications and the like that Council receives in its statutory capacity.
Thank you.
Do I have a mover?
I'll move.
I'll second.
Is that you, Kathy?
Yes.
And second. Any comment or discussion? Thank you, Mr. Kathy. I will put the motion. Any vote?
Aye.
Aye.
And against the ayes have it. We'll see that next meeting.
Yeah, not the idea of the steamer, because I think the recommendation was that it certainly killed them, but they grew up again.
No, we need to ground up.
I think they had a union in the Williamsons called Black Crash, and that's why they're going to
get it. That's
right. It's a big one on the white use of time.
Move the recommendation, Mr. Bell.
You're our biggest man there, Councillor Christie. Is there anything you've noticed that you're concerned? Or is it about in order? And we now go over to this is the administration officer's report. If I can't be fair.
That was one. Not to you, folks.
This is the rates of administration officer.
1732.
1732. Yep.
Before we go any further, Mr. Mayor.
Yes.
I would like to put this off to next meeting, and they apply for the bank statement.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's most other people who apply for grants give us some idea of their financial position.
We can certainly. The whole, I suppose, the background of this one is the society is a not-for-profit, volunteer-based organisation. They run the historical society building down the bottom end of the town. They're all volunteer their times. It's an attraction in Oakland and provides a very good service to visitors and tourists.
Family
history. So it's not so much based on their financial position, it's based on recognising the service they provide. It's a bit of a thank you.
Yeah, but most other firms that buy these grants, they...
I'm sure they
We
don't get it from the radio station.
They don't pay rates because they're in the council own building. They own their own building, so that's why it's rates.
But we pay for the power up
on the radio station.
Radio station.
But now I'm sure they'll provide us with a financial statement.
Yeah. Yeah. The waiting would do sell statement, Alex.
That's
just
my personal opinion.
You just copy not their bank statement, but their financial statement.
Yeah.
Financial statement, what it is.
Yeah. It's just confirming, not knowing their financial position, but they have repaid their mortgage.
Yeah, they have.
In total. So.
Which was quite a feat.
And have you given them the deeds?
Yeah, well, they've got the option, the deeds or the property title sitting down at Dobson Mitchell Norport. I've told them where it is, and they can either put it in safe custody themselves or leave it there knowing where it is.
Okay, so look, there's a motion, I guess, by Councillor Fish. Just matter be adjourned for 1 month for the purposes of obtaining bank statement from financial statement from the agents just over. So
well, I'll put the motion. We've got to have a second. And
is there a second with Councillor Campbell? Any discussion on it? Well, I'll put the motion. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against? The matter is resolved in the meeting. So we'll get a little letter talking. I'm not too sure what the situation is. You can get a positive or a negative response to that.
I'll just be
rich to it.
It helps us decide whether we support that their claim or on behalf of the claim or whatever. If they're in a very strong financial position, why should we give them everything?
Just like the community grants, when anyone puts in for the community grant, you've got to send the bank statement, your latest bank statement.
Okay. Financial statement, yeah, whatever.
What did we end up deciding with the St. Virginia regarding their rates? Did they get
it? It's still in discussion.
Yeah, all last years have been settled. This year's have been issued. We've now received supplementary notices, which have all been backdated to 1 July because the main transaction happened at the end of last financial year. So they're all just purely now on a straight rating basis based on. There wasn't another. Based on the same formula, there was another calculation of an entitlement to the rate exemption based on the expiring lease that continued through until November last year, I think.
So had that been exempted or not?
Once that lease expired, yes, yeah, because it's now what they're... But they sold part of the property off.
Mm.
They're trying to figure the split. So the part that was sold off is now all rateable.
Yep.
But the part that was retained by them, which had a lease over part of the current financial year, so it was prorated based on that lease. So now they're entitled to an exemption from the general rate. They still pay service charges. They certainly pay full rates on the part that was still under lease until about November.
So even though they're running a commercial enterprise, they're not near exempt. How does that work?
Because they're not a charitable organisation.
And they've got a ruling on
that. And that's what the Act says. This is what we're trying to champion for, to get the Act amended.
Yes.
Well, I thought we said we'd only exempt them for the immediate vicinity.
But this might be a matter for another discussion.
Yeah.
It's not really on the agenda today, but I'm not wishing to touch
down. Well, maybe you can table it for next
week. Yeah, it's a bigger issue too. It's about trying to get that change because there are so many organisations that are avoiding rates for reasons which
this will
change. The only reason now, councils, in accordance with Regulation 15, would like the government meeting procedures regulations and have the following matters dealt with in closed session: confirmation of proposed council minutes, applications for leave of absence, order panel minutes, property matter opens, and a waste related issue. Just an addition. Don't have a move at the
end.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell, for seconding it. Those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, the ayes have it. And in accordance with D2, Council now moves to that session. I have a move for that.
I'll move.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Seconded.
Okay.
Deputy, those in favour?
Aye.
Those against, we're now in closed session and
And at 12:43, we close the meeting. Thanks very much, councillors, for your attendance.
Happy Easter, everyone.